Hello, everyone. Welcome to Rewatchable. We have reached episode 123 of our Rewatchable history in podcast episode form. We are currently doing The Legend of Korra, episodes 13, Darkness Falls, and 14, Light in the Dark. This is the two finales, so the, you know, penultimate and the finale episode for book two of Legend of Korra, the show that we're currently rewatching. So that's good for some people, I think. We're ready to move on from book two now. But if you want to reach us about the finale and what we've experienced together today, you can do that by contacting us on rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can reach us on our Twitter, re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hyperball.com, our parent website, or you can join us on the podcast's Tumblr, which is rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. So this week I'm your host, Natalie. I believe you joined me last week as well. We didn't happen to alternate this week. I'm back, so sorry about that if you're not a fan, but hello if you are. I'm a super fan and one of the hosts, obviously, and we've got other super fan Mitch with us today. And we've got Ariana and Brittany, two of our newbies as well today, who are two great tastes that taste great together, I always find, when they're on the podcast together. So,
hello. It's true. I really do love this group, so it should be fun times today.
Yeah.
So, hello. Not that we don't love everyone, but...
No, I just like you guys better.
Yeah, I'm just saying this is, like, the equivalent of the gang. That's all that
this is. Like, the A-team, so...
You better hope the others don't listen to this.
They never do. Oh my god, I guarantee not a single one of them will, because I know them, and they don't.
I'm editing, so they'll definitely never listen
to
it.
Yeah, they definitely won't listen to it.
All right, well... We've got our flow, we've got our team, and so we're going to do some fun facts just in case you are tuning in for the first time or have trouble learning our voices. We'll each speak for a moment about something that we've experienced so that you get to know it. I've already spoken a little bit, so I'm Natalie, but we'll go down the list and then I'll come back at the end, I suppose. But we'll go, Brittany, do you want to do yours first, or how did you want to orchestrate this?
Oh, no, I'll go first, but okay. You should go second because it's on theme.
Fine, so, it's on theme. Brittany will go first. She's a newbie.
So, hi, I'm Brittany, and our fun fact theme for today should be social media themed because Natalie had an awesome social media interaction, and I'm making her share it with the world. Mm. But I'm going to go way back in time to June 18th, 2014 for my fun fact when... our friend Andrew Sims tweeted a picture of the old Nickelodeon studios, and I replied that I had so many wasted postcards to Mike O'Malley begging him to let me compete on Guts, and then I didn't tag him, but he replied to me saying, blame the U.S. Postal Service, Brittany, never got him, you would have been a star in the extreme arena, hashtag turn back time. So I'm not saying I would have kicked everyone's butt on the aggro crag, but I would have.
So funny to me about this is that means Mike O'Malley like Googles himself on Twitter.
I know.
Some people do get alerts, but I've definitely had that. This isn't my story, but I've had that happen before. A celebrity. If I am talking about a famous on Twitter and I do not want them to know about it, I do not tag them in it because I'm not one of those people that like feels the need to tag people just because they're, you know, happen to have a Twitter handle. If I'm, like, talking shit or, like, gossiping, I don't, like, tag them. I have had a celebrity reply to me when I was saying something. Not mean, but gossipy and facetious, and it was really embarrassing. That's not my story, but that has happened to me, so I was upset by that. It was Jesse Tyler Ferguson as well, and that was really
bad. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is really hilarious.
It was really bad, so...
What did you say?
I was making a joke about him and Zach Quinto dating, but they weren't actually dating, and it was just a personal thing between me and my friend Megan, and we were not... I don't even think I used his full name. And he still found it and, like, made a joke. He kind of made a mean joke in return. He wasn't mean, but it was so embarrassing that I wanted to die. That can be my fun fact. I did have a bad Twitter interaction, but it's just... I'll sound like such an idiot, but okay.
No, I want to hear your other Twitter interaction.
Well, I had a very important experience on Twitter. My fun fact, Natalie, I'm a super fan. It's probably my best ever Twitter experience. I must say. I can't think of many to top it right now. Certainly Jesse Tyler Ferguson lurking his own name and finding his the fact that I was like embarrassingly talking about him and Zachary Quinto dating was not the highlight of my life. No, I got really hung up the other day thinking about my favorite movie of all time. And then, like, all night I was thinking about it. Then I'm like, I'm going to watch it tomorrow. I haven't watched it in, like, three years, and I'm going to watch it. And I did, and I was just, like, sitting and live-tweeting it. And then facetiously, at the end, I replied, I tweeted at one of the movie's stars, Ewan McGregor. The movie, FYI, is Velvet Goldmine, which some of you may have seen, some of you may have not. Come and join me if you have. If you haven't, I won't explain it further than it is a fictionalized version of like the glam rock scene based on David Bowie and Iggy Pop, but it's not actually them, it's fake characters. Tweeted Ewan McGregor asking something about the fate of his character, but I was not doing it in a, you know, genuine like, oh my god, pay attention to me, senpai acknowledge me, come to Brazil way. I've never tweeted Ewan McGregor before. I was just facetiously like, oh, hey.
Did you come to Brazil is my favorite. I love that you just said that, Natalie.
I don't understand. Sorry, but I'm sorry to Brazil or anyone listening in Brazil, but it's always that. And they always number it. They're like, this is the 431st time I've tweeted. This is the 402nd, time. I'm like, why are you counting? I don't understand. Anyway, there seems to be a different fan culture there, which I don't understand. But we'll move on from that, and I'm sure it's not every single person, it just does seem to stand out on. Anyway, Ewan McGregor, I facetiously tweeted him being like, asking a question about the fate of his character after the end of the movie, and he, in the middle of the night, while I was already asleep, like a few hours after I tweeted, posted my tweet and confirmed. I can read it to you if you care to know what it said, but if not, you can just go to my Twitter and see it, probably, or my Instagram and see it, because I have screen cap.
Natalie, that is the worst way you could have told this story possible.
Brittany, how would have you told the story?
I would have said that Natalie was rewatching one of her favorite movies of all time, and at the end of the movie, she had a question. So she tweeted Ewan McGregor and said, do you think Kurt Wilde lived happily ever after with Arthur after the end scene of VG? I forgot the name of the movie
Velvet
already.
Velvet
Cold. It's okay. No pressure, but my happiness depends on it. And Ewan McGregor replied, yes, they did. They live in North London. They run a recording studio, sober, kids, all good.
Ewan McGregor's clearly given this a lot of thought, which is my favorite part of the experience.
And he replied to your tweet. I know, that's the highlight of the story.
The highlight of my... Yes, he did. He did reply to my tweet, confirming that my... Because this movie is really messy. It's not actually particularly well made. And there's some, like, voiceover threads that don't make 100% of sense. And I've always interpreted them a certain way, but it is not actually confirmed by the movie. And so I was just very gratified to find that it's definitely enhanced my experience of my own favourite movie. And my favourite part of the entire thing is the fact that Ewan McGregor has clearly given this a lot of thought as well. Like, he is clearly, it's not just like, oh yeah, I think they did. He's like, yep, I know where they are right now. I know what they're doing at this second. It's all good. And I'm just like, thank you so much, Ewan McGregor, for being so weird and making my life so beautiful. But that happened. It was really good. I'm very happy about it. And this movie has a small but passionate fandom of, like, you know, angry queer kids who found it very formative in the late 90s/early 2000s, and like, I've had a lot of people on Twitter or like on Tumblr, or not me, but like someone posted it, and I've been like lurking all the people who are also very happy about this reveal of canon. So you're welcome, all those people out there that like Velvet Goldmine. Here is a thing that has happened for you. The end. It was really good. Anyway. What?
I don't know. I love your stories,
Natalie.
That's
such a long story.
Sorry. I know. Well, I didn't want... Sorry. I didn't want to go into it that much.
I mean, we're 13 minutes in. So we can move on to...
Let's go. Fun fact. Ariana, you said you had a Facebook-related one. Is that right?
Yeah. So you guys remember how I met Mindy Sterling, a.k.a. Yeah. Lin Beifong, a.k.a. the coolest human ever to exist ever. Yeah. So we're Facebook friends now, and just saw her. Yeah. And I actually just saw her at a party on Friday, and she gave me a hug because she's wonderful. And we were on a team together. We played charades together.
Oh, no, that's fine. No big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. But you see the proper like way to tell a story about interacting with people, Nat?
I'm sorry.
It's me.
And I'm so excited for you, Ariana. That is amazing.
I am too.
Would you like to join us as a cast member on Rewatchable and recap these episodes?
I think so. I think that she will, that she'll just come on every week and talk about Lin.
Cool. Okay, great.
Things in Lin's voice.
Oh, Natalie, we should have her on. We should have her on for, like, the most I can say without spoiling anyone else is...
Mitch! So early
Julie,
in the podcast.
Julie and
Mitch,
that's it. That's almost second side. But we should have her on for that episode. We need her on for that episode. I hope you know what I'm talking
for
about.
For the episode when Tenzin leaves his wife for Lin? Yeah, that episode?
Yes, that episode. How'd you know?
You can just... we're not going to abuse Ariana's friendship with Mindy Sterling. But that's really cool. And Mitch, what was your fun fact this week?
She posts a lot of videos about cats on Facebook, in case you're wondering.
That's the kind of content I like to see on the internet.
Well, I was going to tell, like, a celebrity story on Twitter, but, like, mine was just so much more lame after everyone else's. Because the only thing is, like, I scrolled around to try to find this, and I tweeted something about iZombie when it first aired. And I said, eating spicy Cheetos Puffs and rewatching the CW iZombie pilot. Perfection. Hashtag iZombie. And then, because this is kind of on that same thread... the star of the show favorited my tweet, so she must have been looking through the hashtags iZombie. It wasn't as random as I had hoped. I hope
that's
I didn't...
Cute. I mean, I love her, so that's great.
Yeah, I thought that was adorable. I like that. But, I mean, I had, like... I was not even going to say that one because it was so lame, but I just had to because I was going to forget it forever. No, my other fun facts while I'm doing two for every episode that I'm on now, making up for lost time, is that I get really awesome fortune cookies whenever I go to my favorite Chinese restaurant, and they're always dead on true. Let me read you this one right now. This one says, no one is standing in your way anymore, time to, and then it says moving forward. I mean, you know, you get what you get. But, like, I was really impressed because it was kind of like... right after, like, a big breakup that I had, kind of like, you know, Makora and whatnot. And I just moved forward after I got this awesome, like
Makora.
That is not a big breakup.
Like Makora.
Never compare anything.
Oh, Mitchell, that is hilarious.
Oh, my God. Don't...
Which one are you, Mitch? Are you the Mako or the Korra?
Oh, my God. They both suck.
Wow. Let's not.
No, legit. We were talking about Makora breakup the whole time, and I was like, no, this is so weird. Some things will like weirdly mimic, and I was like, no.
Well, were
that's
there,
clearly
like,
why it didn't work
cheers
out?
Cheers thrown as well.
yes, to everyone. What, Ariana?
I just said, were there like desks returned and as well chairs thrown across the room?
Not
airbending.
Quite. Not quite. There was damage done to my apartment in a very like Korra kind of way, and it wasn't on purpose, but it was something I could imagine Korra doing. This is like so like Glee Chat After Dark for rewatchable. Oh my God. But anyways, what happened was and this is kind of weird because some people know him even listening. Regardless, there was just smoke damage done to my apartment because the flue wasn't opened when the fireplace was turned on or they put fire in it. So it was a bit of a shame that I went down like that because I just felt like I had to kick my Korra out, you know? It's just like, dude, not cool. So that's why I was like, during all this Makora stuff, I was like, you know what? I kind of feel you, Mako. So I guess I'm more of the Mako here.
Oh,
you know,
my
I wasn't.
God.
Maybe I was ripping off a blood.
I liked Mako in the last few episodes. I know everyone was like hating on Mako, but I mean, we can talk about this later. But I like liked Mako. He was the only one who was right. Everyone else was wrong.
Yeah, I didn't mind him either, but I don't know if Mitch should be basing his romantic life on Mako.
Definitely not.
We'll probably move on from that. All right, we're going to go into the actual episode now. Sorry about that, guys. So, Brittany, I told you that telling that story wasn't a good idea, but we'll move on.
Yeah, it's fine. It's my fault anyway.
Yeah.
Should have known.
Okay, all right. Chapter 13, Darkness Falls. In this episode, the gang kids are in it to win it when it comes to finding Jinora. Tenzin convinces his siblings to sell their souls to a grumpy spirit, and the trio ends up in a trippy wasteland where Kaya and Bumi quickly lose their minds because the latter has legit PSD. The latter has legit PSTD, and the former just doesn't want to be tied down, man. Tenzin keeps it together, though, because this is what his entire neurotic life has led up to. And now that he's finally putting his spiritual training into practice, his devolving mental breakdown eventually leads to his own self-actualization when he realizes, during a come-to-Jesus epiphany, that it's just fine that he's not his father. After all, we all know that Tenzin gets all his anal crave from Katara's side. Tenzin saves Jinora and his siblings too, but Jinora senses a disturbance in the Force and pieces out to help Korra, who is having a very bad day considering that the world is about to be plunged into 10,000 years of darkness, and it's like all her fault. That was very concise and true. I liked that it involved 12 lines about Tenzin and one line about Korra. So that was great.
Can you tell, like, what I pay attention to during the series?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It's true. So, yeah, going straight into the episode, I guess. So talk about, Bumi, Kaya, and Tenzin walking around in the spirit world, you know, relatively defenseless, to find Jinora, their niece. So do you guys have aunts and uncles that would do that for you, or are you not that tight with them? Ariana, how about you?
This is really interesting because they actually, like, Kaya, Bumi, and Tenzin remind me a lot of, like, Tenzin reminds me a lot of my dad, and Bumi reminds me of, like, his older brother, and, like, their relationship, and he's, like, the fun uncle, and my dad's always like, oh, you're so annoying, and, but I can totally see, Bumi, my uncle, doing this, so I just thought it was really cool that even though she's not their kid, they were like, no, we're totally here, like, we'll do anything for Jinora. And even, like, literally sacrificing their souls in that wasteland, even though Tenzin didn't tell them that's what they were going to do. But
Brittany, yeah, how did you feel about the, this sort of delving further into the spirit world and their planning process, I guess?
They really couldn't have a plan because they didn't know what to expect. And then Ira was no help. Like, why even bring him into this? He was just like,
hi guys, I remember you from when we were kids.
This is my box. Okay, see you later.
Yeah.
But I guess he did kind of help because he made him realize where he needed to go. But I liked
He was like, go home. That was his idea of helping.
He's like, I sent Jinora to this mountain, but she's, like, dead. So you could just,
I messed leave. Up. Uncle Ira, you suck.
But I agree with Ariana. I love the three of them together, even though they're kind of like, eh. Like, I mean, their relationship isn't the best. I like that they kind of put all that aside to go and save Jinora. And there's just no questions asked with either of them. They kind of, like, have a lot of trust in Tenzin, which I guess was shown when he was like, I'm just going to go mess with this spider and have us drag us a fog where we may never come out of it again.
Yeah, they're like, wait, so we're like, everybody gets lost in here, right? They go crazy. He's like, yeah.
But I have a level head, so we'll all be fine.
I'm already, I operate on this, like, this level of anxiety, like, at all times, so it's fine. Since they actually physically walked into the spirit world, Mitch, maybe I can't actually remember the specifics, because when you go into the spirit world while you're, you know, the avatar or just meditating, when just your spirit goes, you obviously are just your spirit form and you can't bend. But they literally walk in through the portal. So can they bend in there? Did Tenzin bend at the spider? Like, or were they kind of, did Kaya and Tenzin have their bending, or were they all non-bending in there?
Yeah, no, it's a big plot point that you do bend when you walk through the portal. If you think back to, like, Unalaq's thing, and that's how I remember it, because he was like, Kor, you should have walked through the portal. Look at me, like, chopping your arms off. So that's how I always try and, like, remember, like, the distinction there. And yeah, he does bend at the spider, and he kind of, like, tries to bend the fog away, and it doesn't really work very well. Maybe he should have bent, like, a bubble of air around his head and his siblings. That would have been a lot smarter than like just tying us together and saying like, let's just walk around for a bit.
Yeah, true. So Mitch, the Fog of Lost Souls, is that something that we have seen in the comics at all? I can't remember. I think it is, maybe. Is this the first time that the universe is introduced to it?
I've only done the search, like that four part. That's the only comic that I've done.
Okay, I think it's.
So I wouldn't know
it's
if it's inside
mentioned.
Of Zuko and Aang's Friendship Love Times comics.
So yeah, do you think that there should have been fair warning about the spirit fog, about what we were all going to experience and what we should have been prepared for? I mean Kaya and Bumi. Should have he sat them down and been like, so you need to be mentally prepared for this?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Really should have done that.
At least while they were, like, bound together in the spider, they had plenty of time to kill, I'm sure.
He should have, I think he should have given them the choice. I mean, obviously, I think they would go no matter what with him. But I think he should have been like, you know, there's a really good chance we aren't going to come out of there. That it's going to make us go crazy.
Like, you know, put up your mental guards, you know, it may affect you, but be prepared for what's going to happen, if you know what I mean, because that, you know, spirit fog is,
well, like, Kaya seems to know what's going on,
like,
to, like, protect
thing
your mind.
You have, where, like, when women have preeclampsia, my friend was telling me this story yesterday, her mom had preeclampsia, and so they didn't, you have to stay calm. So they just, like, closed all the windows and were like, just stay calm. But they didn't tell her she had preeclampsia, because if you tell her, then she won't be calm. So
what Sybil died from on Downton Abbey?
Yes. That's why we were talking about it. Oh. Her mom is fine, by the way.
Okay, that's good.
Everything worked out.
Yeah. You can die from not being calm. Yes.
Also, spoiler alert for anyone who wants to watch Downton Abbey.
Oh, we're going to talk about Downton Abbey later.
We're going to talk about Downton Abbey.
That happened like 4 years ago.
I know, but some people want us to do Downton Abbey on this show, and that would have
been... That's all I want. Yeah. Downton Abbey is my favorite thing.
I will cry if we do Downton Abbey. I'll cry.
But we'll talk about it later.
I've never watched a single lick of Downton Abbey. I don't understand a single thing of, like, why it's emotional. Because to me, it looks like stingy old British people sitting in a house.
No, like, stop, Mitchell. Lady Mary is my patroness, so...
Oh, you are so Lady Mary. Oh...
Like, what do they do? It's not Game of Thrones.
It's just like Game of Thrones. I wrote an article about how it is Game of Thrones.
All right. We're going to move on from Downton Abbey. We're going to save that for later. General Zhao, remember Admiral Zhao from, you know, season one of Avatar, trying to kill Zuko and, kill the Avatar and stuff? He was there. So apparently if you're that much of a dick, you get stuck in the Fog of
Lost
Souls.
That's where all the people, all the characters that were forgotten go.
Yeah, I mean, what did it kind of feel like to you in seriousness? Like who ends up there? How would you end up there?
The girl that Zuko abandoned in the alleyway?
Yeah, she's probably there because no one loved her, so yeah.
I just don't understand how they would get in there because the portals have been closed. Is it just like your soul is so unsettled that it's sort of like purgatory? Like,
it kind of reminds me of like
Iroh was going to hang there.
I mean, he's in the spirit world. He was involved.
Yeah,
into
I meant
the
in the fog.
World. In the fog, it kind of reminded me of like if you've seen that Robin Williams movie, What Dreams May Come, the bit with all of the suicides, the bit with all of the people who've committed suicide who are in that weird like hell that they don't know is hell and that they don't remember how they got there and stuff. Like, it kind of reminds me of that. So that's depressing, but. I don't know.
Well, I just figured that, like, anyone who got their way into there was more of a pugnacious person, and they were fighting the spider because they saw that cute little, like, star hanging down. It's kind of like in Finding Nemo, you know?
I don't think cares about the little star. I feel like the spider isn't the only...
He's turning 42 all the way to Sydney. Must find the Avatar. That's what I imagine him doing.
I feel like the spider isn't the only way into the pit, if you know what I mean. I feel like that it's somewhere that, you know, what your spirit or your soul... or your body can go, like, you know, if you are in that kind of state, but...
Well, don't we wish this was Ko instead? Like, why wasn't it Ko?
Shh. Because he's got other things to do. So don't worry about Ko.
Busy.
Don't worry about Ko for now. But, yeah, Kaya and Bumi both lost the plot pretty fast. So let's talk about that. Bumi was having some sort of post-traumatic stress incident about an incident that has happened in his past career in the military with cannibals. So, Brittany, as a fan of both Boomy and Cannibals, do you want to give us your thoughts on this one?
I almost had some PTSD because of it reminded me of when I was watching Hannibal and I woke up in the middle of the night having like a nightmare in a cold sweat. Oh yeah, when I had to binge watch the first two seasons, I could not sleep.
I'm so sorry.
It was just really funny because Hannibal ended last night, and then watching Boomy running around being like cannibals. Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's never gonna leave me alone.
Aww. Yeah. And yet when I watched it, I was just like, yeah, mushrooms.
That's like episode two, Mitch. You didn't watch it.
I like stopped right there. I was like, the mushrooms were enough. That's the high point.
I don't know, any deeper thoughts about what Boomy has experienced in his life aside from the Hannibal association?
Well, isn't when you're in the spirit fog, didn't they say that it's like it takes you back to a place where like it's kind of like your biggest like fear or whatever? So I guess maybe that was like the one battle he wasn't going to win.
Yeah.
And he like couldn't pull it together and he maybe felt like a failure, like if I can't even do this, then like what am I good for? And that was probably his like moment of greatest weakness, whereas like Tenzin's was not living up to Aang's expectations. So I think they all kind of had this thing of living up to Aang's expectations of them, and that was Boomy's, just in a weird way because it's fitting to his personality. It has to be weird.
And then go on.
It's funny that we're talking about cannibals and like spirits and whatnot, because I just played a game that I think imagines what could have happened to Boomy. It's a new one for PS4 called Until Dawn, and it stars Hayden Panettiere, my bae. And I know, I'm just going to straight up spoil the game, so sorry, fast forward 30 seconds.
How can you spoil a game?
Oh, you can... Oh, what?
It's a video
Natalie,
game.
Natalie, come on. All right.
It's a
game.
We're
going to not go there. Okay. Yes. Long story short, cannibals unleash like a dark creature soul, and they'll turn you into like kind of like a fast moving zombie thing. So like only when you're forced to eat someone else does that evil come out in like this Native American lore in like the tip of the United States, like the northern part right next to Canada, and like this really like deserted area. And it reminded me a lot of like what would happen like if Boomy had like people that were eating each other, and then the spirit would be unleashed, this evil like demon that would start taking over people and kill you after that. Maybe he went through something crazy like that. Maybe they're basing it off of that. That'd be kind of fun. Because I think it's not just from the game. They took it from like Native American lore, and I think it's called the Winago. It's a fairly popular like source of what happens when people turn cannibal.
Sounds. Do you mean a Wendigo?
Wendigo? Yeah, I don't remember the name. That's Teen Wolf, isn't it?
It is a mythological thing. Right.
That cannibalism should have been your fun fact.
What?
Wolf Watch.
Oh, Wolf Watch. No. Stop. Fuck Wolf
Watch. Oh my gosh. That was really cool, Natalie.
It was not. It was
You
the
were
worst.
On TV.
I don't
know. So cool. You were on TV.
I had to sit through that awful show.
I didn't sit through. I didn't. I only downloaded the 5-minute clip that we were on.
Well, I didn't know what time you were going to be on, so I watched all of Wolf Watch.
Yeah, let's
Also, I was like with Karen like right before that happened. I walked her to the hotel and she went upstairs. Yeah. Recorded that, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, it was so embarrassing, but yes, that happened. Maybe if Avatar was still on, we could be on like the version of that for
definitely.
Yeah,
we'd be on with Mindy Sterling.
But
more so than Boomy, what I thought was interesting was Kaya.
Yeah, I was gonna go to you about Kaya, because it is like, it was kind of played as a bit of a joke, but if that's like her biggest regret and her biggest like, you know, shameful moment, like of her acting like that about her family, what did you think with that?
I don't know. Like, Kai and Boomy are really interesting to me. They're kind of like a mystery because they seem so very like family oriented, and yet neither one of them has their own family. Like, I don't know. They're both so content to be like the fun uncle and the fun aunt. So I don't know. Like, I wonder why they don't want kids. You know what I mean?
They thought that if they had kids and the kids weren't airbenders, that Aang would neglect them just as much as he neglected.
Oh my god, that's so true.
Life, if you know what I mean.
Like, you know how grandparents do that? They totally pick out like their favorite
one family's worth of kids. Oh.
Yeah, oh, that sucks.
I don't know. The Kaya thing I found interesting, that if that was, like, her biggest... Like, I don't have any family. You can't tie me down. Like, if that was, like, her... You know, if she went through that, like, earlier in her life, in her however old, you know, old she is, maybe in her 20s or her 30s, if she had... You know, we know that she's gone off trying to find herself around the world, but if she ever actually cut ties and came, you know, ended up coming back, but if she ever was actually like, I am out of here, I'm, you know, didn't associate with them or told people that, you know, she wasn't their family, like, you know, went around under a fake identity or something. I don't know. It was weird. Obviously, they didn't get any relief from their nightmares, but Tenzin's was kind of just... Aang, but it's not like it was a mean Aang that said mean things to him. It was, you know, Aang said nice things to him. It was good. Like, I kind of thought it would turn out with a scary moment of, like, Aang, you know, a fake Aang being mean and telling him that you've done nothing and you've brought shame on me and stuff. So I was quite relieved that they didn't have that, but...
I cried. I cried as soon as he said, "Hello, son." And I'm like,
really?
Like, right,
I know,
there.
I was like, Aang! Aww. Aang is back.
Is this the
It's funny how we have such a reverence for him and we, like, hate how he treated his kids, because they like, that
I mean,
almost
I can separate that. It's like the way you can separate, like, JFK being like, oh, JFK is cool, and also, like, oh, yeah, he, like, totally cheated on his wife. Yeah. Like... Like, I don't know. I feel like I can separate that with Aang. Yeah. Like, I love Aang, and also he was a terrible parent.
Brittany, what were you going to say?
I was going to say exactly what Ariana said, not with the JFK reference, but saying, like, I think I can separate them enough now to where I'm, like, still happy to see Aang, but can also be like, ah, oh, man, you messed up
a little bit. Need to talk. Yeah, like, so... Basically, you know, do you feel like that was, like, all Tenzin needed to hear was that for Aang to tell him that he didn't need to be Aang, that he should just be Tenzin and rise with the power of Tenzin or something like that? Like, what? Is that not what happened? You know, do you think it was going to take more than that? Were you expecting him to have, like, a bad, scary Aang moment at all?
No, I think Tenzin's neurotic enough without having to scare him into anything. So I think he just needed, like, that reassuring voice again. Because he just got done hearing, like, Kaya and Bumi for the past few weeks being like, yeah, Dad sucked. And now he's just sort of like, well, maybe he was kind of bad. And he's doubting himself and how he was raised. And then he's like, no, actually, I'm Tenzin. I'm cool. I'm going to be Tenzin and save everyone.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like Tenzin is a better dad than Aang was.
Oh, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't think that's in question, but,
I mean, would Aang have ever been a good dad, regardless of being, like, this Last Airbender stuff or even the Avatar? Like, I don't know that he has it in his personality.
If he had all Airbenders, I think he would have been a fine dad.
Yes, if he had all Airbenders, or if he hadn't been an Airbender, if he'd just been a normal guy with Aang's personality... He would have been an annoying but good dad. He would have been a fun dad, probably with a mum who was, the mum would have been the bad
guy. He probably would have been like a Phil Dunphy.
Yeah, he would have been, exactly. But yeah, but he wouldn't, it's having the difference of the one Airbender kid that really made him terrible. And it's not Tenzin's fault, but it's really bad. So, yeah. Okay, does anyone have any other particular feelings about Tenzin? Because I want to move on to this comment because I have... thoughts about it, and I'm going to read the whole thing out loud. So, so basically what we've gotten here, I've got some questions for Ariana about this entire statement, saying, meanwhile, Eska and Desna are still being weird and distracting Bolin and Marco, who are, in themselves, sort of a distraction on this show. Like, as I type this, I am realizing, are they even necessary? Is this story improved with them? Do I even think of any of Korra's friends as their own three-dimensional beings, or are they just like Korra's friends? Tamora Pierce. Let's talk about this more in the next episode more once the season is over. Now, I've got some major questions here because Tamora Pierce is my favourite and most formative childhood author. As I'm older, I find more problems with her work and I think she has improved over her career, but she is like my number one pre-Harry Potter, pre-everything I've ever cared about, I cared about Tamora Pierce. So I'm very confused about what this comment is about.
I mean, I think we can talk about this more in the next episode, but it just... As I was starting to talk about Eska and Desna, I was like, why are they even in this? Because of Makwan Bolin. Why are they in this? They're really, like, not contributing a lot. They haven't really like, the whole season, they sort of have felt like a distraction to me. Mm. And Tamora Pierce once said this. I agree with you, Natalie. There's some things about her books that I really love, but, like, now that we have, like, more YA fantasy, can see...
For the time, it was very important, and it was very formative, but looking back as an adult with what's been produced since, it's kind of like, about some of it. But I still love it because it was my first thing. Anyway, carry on.
So she said, like, someone asked her once, like, who was her favorite characters? And she said that the main characters. And so she was talking about how she loves Alana and can really relate to Kel. Mm-hmm. And then Dane, who she wrote 4 books for, she was like... And Dane, I don't know how I feel about her. I mean, she goes, I really like her, but a lot of times she feels less like her own person and more like everyone else's friend. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, that is interesting. And I feel like sometimes I feel like Katara, Sokka, Toph, they all felt like their own person, where, like, if you took them out of Aang's life, they could make their
own.
They would have their own life, their own show. And I feel like Korra's friends do not feel like that. They just feel like Korra's friends.
Yeah. At the moment, yes, I agree. I don't think that they're, you know, well fleshed out enough. I think that she kind of had to be isolated in the first season, and now they've got all these characters, and they're like, what are you going to do with them? But we can talk about it more at the end. And that's interesting about that Tamora Pierce quote. I'm going to look it up later. But, we can talk about that at the end if you like, because that is... an interesting factor, and I agree. I feel like we haven't had enough. I feel like in Atla, you got episodes where bits were divided up, where it's like, here's a whole plot about Toph in this episode, if you know what I mean. Here's a whole plot about Sokka without Aang being involved in it. And those and in Korra, the bits where it's like, oh, we're cutting back to Marco doing his job now, and it's kind of like people just tune out and then, like, no one cares, if you know what I mean.
Well, what's interesting to me is, like Kaya and Bumi, like, even when they were just in one episode, I felt like they were more developed in that episode than even, like, Mako and Balin have. And especially Asami. Poor Asami. I feel like she's just left there to be like,
okay.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know. Does anyone have any thoughts about that, or do we want to talk about that at the end with... after the episode is finished?
Well, that relates to when I was talking about whether or not Bolin should have even been given a plot for this season. Because if Lin wasn't given one, and we find her to be so much more of a dynamic and built character, but Bolin, who isn't, does get one, where's the logic in that? And it didn't build him either. The movers just felt, in my opinion, I know we all kind of have a little bit of a wavering opinion on this, but just it felt too drawn out. I get the historical importance that you brought up, Natalie, but I think that there's no reason to have as much as there was of Bolin, because it wasted time when we could have, of course, as I said in the last episode of Rewatchable, like, spread out events. It's just, I think you're right. Like, this is like a distraction from the show. And it's funny, too, that we say that, because we almost say sometimes that Korra is the distraction from her own show when she's being annoying, too. And all we need is air kids, so whatever.
I don't know. Can I just throw back to the Lost Souls for a moment, just very quickly? What about all of the other people lost in the fog? Like, Tenzin, he gets Bumi, he gets Kaya, and he gets Jinora out. What about all of those other people? Like, do you think that he had any responsibility to, like, usher them all out back into the real world?
No.
Or is it kind of like, your problem?
No, absolutely not. Tenzin, like, the dark spirits are about to...
You have enough problems. He has so many problems to deal with right now. Just, like, get your daughter and get the hell out of there.
Sorry about everyone else. That's fine. So the big problem is obviously Unalaq merged with Vatu, and he became the evil avatar, the gigantic, weird lizard avatar, which seems to be very exciting for some people. You like the evil avatar?
Well, I didn't like this evil avatar, but even in, like, season one of Atla, I was like, wouldn't it be so awesome if there wasn't, like, one of the avatars was evil, and the show, like, the next avatar, like, say, Korra, was an evil avatar, and then the show was, like, about regular people who were, like, trying to stop Korra.
Mm. True. That would have been interesting, like, just someone whose personality was just, like, I'm going to use this power for intrinsic badness. Like,
yeah, and they like weren't doing their job. I mean, Korra isn't doing her job, but
Korra
someone who was like
the worst
purposefully...
avatar they've ever had. Like,
but, or even more interesting, you know, what would have been really cool if when we have when Unalaq like eats Rava, you know. If Unalaq or Vatu, that is, was to jump inside of Korra and be like, you know what, like, you're stronger, you can do more, I want you. And then Korra was evil, and then for the rest of the show we had to fed off Korra, like Mako, Bolin, Asami,
oh,
Tenzin, whatever else.
Oh, maybe then they would finally be interesting.
Oh my god,
that would have been really, like, imagine that twist. That would have blown my mind, and I would have been so excited, because it totally subverts the idea of, like, the Legend of Korra being, like, the heroine. She's really just the villain in the end, and that would just be amazing.
Oh, that would,
like,
be great.
We need to rewrite the show. That would have made it so much better, like, this build-up of season two towards something, and it just was nothing. And now it's...
It was
like,
so that Korra could turn into a giant blue blob and, like, you know...
Power Ranger her way through things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he pulls Rava out of Korra, and, I mean, he doesn't eat her. But if he did, wouldn't that, like, equal... Like, what if Rava and Vatu were both stuck inside the same person?
I think Unalaq would have had a really bad tummy ache.
Person, yeah.
Like, wouldn't the person just explode?
Probably. Which isn't a bad thing. Yeah. Maybe it's better off if we had just, like, both of them attached again. Like, if they just fused their tails and
yeah.
that was it.
I mean, I believe that was the problem in the first part when Avatar 1, you know, pulled them apart. That they were doing
but, like,
pretty
they
well
were
just being attached.
Well, I mean, were they?
I know everyone likes Avatar Wan, but I feel like he was an idiot.
He was
like,
an idiot.
I was not
I don't
into
love
him.
I don't love him. He became, like, he had responsibility thrust upon him, and he learnt the ways of the world, but he was an idiot. Like, I don't get why they're like, when Korra was like, I met him, or I saw the first Avatar, and he was so amazing. I'm like, was he? He was just...
I know.
Like,
I was
like,
want to know why he was amazing, Korra? He had all this responsibility thrust on him, and he figured it out. He didn't pawn off his responsibilities on everyone
She's
else.
Like, that sounds way too hard. Like, oh my god. Ultimate
yes.
lazy Avatar is Korra, so...
Sorry, Mitch.
Korra me. Wow.
The lazy Avatar crown from you.
Yeah. I think the saddest part of the Rava situation and Unalaq is that he beats Rava down, and, like, he basically cuts off all of her connections with the past avatars. So all of the avatars that have kind of that Rava has carried around, because that's you know to the next avatar that she goes into, all of those links are cut off. So that sucked for me. That was the worst part, I think, of what they did, at least, you know, besides, like, destroying the world. But that was
no, I'm, like, furious. She's so dumb. I cannot believe she did that. She, like, ruined 10,000 years of history because she's a fucking idiot. Like, I'm so mad at her. How can she do, like, so now there's no more connection to the other avatars,
yeah,
right?
Korra.
And
yeah,
she's just kind of like, whoops,
she's
my bad.
Yeah.
And she's like, sorry, this isn't happening. She's like, 10,000 years of avatars have managed to not fuck up this badly. And you have come in and done this because you were too incompetent. You made bad choices. You
yeah.
got to this point, basically. And,
but,
you know,
like, especially, like, can you imagine? I would feel so bad for, like, Katara or, like, everybody who, like, loved Aang, and they're like, well,
right.
that's
he's
great.
He's gone now. Like,
yeah,
like,
for reals.
Do we not have, like, assassination snipers in this series? If it's not for the fact that we don't see guns, I'm sure they exist, and this is probably a Nickelodeon thing, you could, like, find so many ways of bending to secretly kill someone. If she really was that concerned, she could have just killed Unalaq. And I know she was, like, in the end, she's like, oh, I'm sorry I killed him. Sorry, twins. And they're like, seriously? Why would you apologize? He was going to destroy the world. We don't even care, and he's our dad. Like,
I have a question.
Took too much pity on him, and she'd have killed him so long ago.
Have we ever seen somebody use airbending to, like, cut off someone's windpipe?
No.
Or, like, crush their lungs? Have we ever seen that?
I wish.
No? Okay.
I wish.
Oh, remember that extreme bending we found? Like, the R-rated bending of, like, yeah, taking someone's blood out of their body and stuff?
Well, like I said, it reminds me of the only thing that I've ever retained from the fantasy series Eragon. I believe I said this when we were talking about Atla,
right.
is that the guy in Aragorn develops magic and it uses up a certain amount of energy, so he has to learn all of this, like, science about the body in order to use the smallest amount of, like, magic possible to fight and kill people. Like, instead of, like, blasting someone's body apart, like using magic to like cut the nerve in their spinal cord or something, you know, like little tiny bits of energy to kill people.
So, I remember that.
Because it's really, it's well, the only like, thing I've remembered about those entire books, except that there are dragons.
It's terrifying. So,
yeah, it's crazy. Well,
do you think Lynn would have been up to like just straight up like murdering him? Like she would have just taken her like giant, like in the middle of the night, you know, like Elder Wan killed him, done. And then, like, this is over. Because she knows the threat. She must know by now, like, what's going on. When she wants that, what was it? What did Brittany call it?
Wait, you're mad that she didn't kill him earlier? I feel like he was not in a, like, she was not in a position to be able to.
She lost
her memory. And then she was, you know, trying to get into the spirit world to stop him. And it's not like she was, like, in front of him and like, hmm.
Yeah, she did kind of get there as quickly as she could, but...
No, I'm just kind of proposing other characters that would have been more able to, I don't know, even see past Umlaq's ways.
Asami could
have
killed him with a gun.
Okay, so yeah, so why wouldn't there have been... I feel like there are moments that we could have killed Umlaq way sooner, and that he kind of just, like, chills and, like, hangs out with just his twins, and that scene's still slightly vulnerable as long as you have, like, a good gang of people to, like, go kill him. But, like, they waited too long. I feel like they still didn't... Because they had to, like, go into the spirit world and, like, I don't know. Like, Korra should have just flown right to where she knew he was and just been done with it. I'm frustrated that we had to have Jenora's spirit lost and all that. I think that that was almost like a plot device to allow Umlaq to rise up even more.
Oh, I felt like it made logical sense. I'm not mad about that. That she went to the spirit world. She needed to do that. It was a long time coming.
Yeah, but in the end of the day, all she did was get Jenora captured and, like, get herself beaten.
Yeah, but it's not like she did that on purpose, Mitch. She wasn't like, let's go so we can get you captured.
It sets up an interesting, like, plot line for Jenora, because now we have this awesome spiritual being.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on with Jenora.
Yeah, spoiler alert, maybe they should just give the Avatar spirit to Jenora instead of Korra. Like take Rava out of...
Since she is, like, a spirit.
Take her, you know, Rava out of Korra and be like, okay, so... You know the Pope. And you know how, like, for, like, however many millions of years that we've had a Pope, that the Pope has never retired, except the last Pope retired and then we got a new one instead of the Pope dying? Maybe they should, like, get rid of Korra and just make...
Retire Korra?
Yeah, retire Korra.
At 18.
And make Jenora the new Avatar instead, because she's
better at
it. Yeah,
I was confused about that. Like, couldn't someone else just have easily become the Avatar? But Korra still acted like she had a connection to it. Like, even with Rava gone, she still acted like she had some connection to being the Avatar. And I was so confused.
She still had the bending power, but that's still only carried by Rava originally. Because, like, Wan got the bending power without being the Avatar. I mean, Wan got the bending power prior to Rava.
Did we see her bend at all once Rava left?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. She was like a giant blue thing. I was not really paying attention. Yeah, when she turned into a giant blue thing, I was like, what is this?
I just assumed she
like
didn't
Godzilla.
Have the bending anymore.
It reminds me of the season one finale of Atla, when Aang becomes that giant fish thing. And remember how pissed off I was about that, too? Like, Deus
Ex. I don't remember him becoming
a giant fish thing. And that wasn't Aang. That was, like, he was with... Yeah, I like the fish.
That was, like, Yue or something. But, like, Korra didn't have any help. She just did it. She just gets up and she's like, all right, we got this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you don't even have the Avatar spirit in you right now. How are you doing this? You just get up and do it?
Well, that's in the next episode. So let's read the synopsis for that episode first before we get too carried away, shall we? But the favorite scenes from this current episode, mine was for ridiculousness sake, the scene where the twins free Marco and Bolin, even though it had no actual effect on the episode. I found it amusing and, you know, a nice moment of like, hey, twins, why are you actually defending your crazy father? So I enjoyed that. Brittany, how about you?
Mine was when Aang appeared and was trying to, like, make up for being a dad who was like, you must live up to expectation and produce airbenders and save the world. And he's like, you know what? You're doing just fine, Tenzin.
Ariana?
Mine was when Tenzin finally, you know, self-actualized and the fog parted, and then he went and he just took his family by the hand and they walked out of there, and it was so precious.
And Mitch, how about you?
Mine is the Easter egg of the mushroom that is voiced by Azula's voice actress, Greta Lyle. And can we just get everyone excited right now, Natalie? Do you know what I'm going to say? Is this a good time for this?
No.
I'm going to go for it. Greta Lyle will be voicing a character in season 3.
I don't know who she is.
She's Azula's voice actress.
Oh my gosh, stop.
Yes, so I should have told you that in the beginning of the show so you would like get through seasons one and two so much easier. Like, you know, we have something else coming on. That's part of why I love season three so much.
She's voicing somebody. Is she voicing, what's his name? General Iroh's mom? Ooh, oh my god, then this is even more exciting.
Just wait. Oh, just wait.
Oh my
god,
that is so great. Oh my gosh, Azula has a love child somewhere. Oh, this is great. Delicious.
There will be theories. There will be theories. I'll say that much. Oh, God.
As far as quotes, mine was actually the mushroom. My favorite quote was when they were walking around. Tenzin was like, "We're walking in circles. I've seen that same spirit mushroom 5 times. And Bumi goes, "That's not the same mushroom." And the mushroom goes, "Yes, I am." And I loved it. It was so cute. So that was my...
No, just imagine if that was Azula's voice. Like, if Azula died and became a spirit mushroom. Like, yes, I am.
No, the mushroom would explode with, like, a million lightning bolts and, like, zap Tenzin being like, "Yes, you did walk past me 5 times.
I would have been excited about that. Like, versus spirit mushroom, go.
Brittany, how about you for the quotes?
Mine was just Bumi running around yelling about cannibals.
Because that's your life now?
Because that's my life. At least for the next, like, 2 days, and then Hannibal ends forever, so.
Ariana, what about your quote?
Mine was when Aang came and he's like, "You are not me, and you should not be me. You are Tenzin." And then Tenzin's like, "I am not a reflection of my father. I am Tenzin. I am Tenzin."
He's like 50. Aang, why didn't you ever tell him this when he was like 5? Like, you know, you should have been telling him this his whole life.
I am Tenzin.
Mitch, who are you?
Yes, so I'm Flashback Friday with Zhao the Conqueror, because he says, "I am Zhao the Conqueror. I am the Moon Slayer. I will capture the Avatar. Leave Yue alone." God. Yes. Can't she get a break?
Poor Yue.
They're just trying to remind us of Sokka's dead girlfriends again. They won't let that go either.
I'm still a bit confused about why you'd be proud of destroying the moon. But anyway, next episode, Light in the Dark, the finale of Book 2. We've done it. We've got through Book 2. In this episode, General Iroh is back and sexy as fuck as he blasts Korra's Godzilla demon uncle. Meanwhile, back in the spirit world, Korra feels bad for destroying the Avatar cycle via her poor decisions. But when Tenzin gives her a pep talk, she goes to sleep inside a magic tree and comes out a giant blue spirit blob. Carrying the power of the misplaced good intentions, Jinora... poor Jinora. Jinora floats through the air like a Virgin Mary fairy godmother, and together she and Transformer Korra take down the evil uncle. It is very Lion King, but instead of hyenas, there is Bolin's girlfriend who dumps him so she can be co-water chief with her twin sesty brother. After everything is over, Korra decides to open up the spirit world once and for all because that has worked out so well in the past 24 hours. Obviously, she makes great decisions. Also, she and Marco break up again. Let's not pretend there's anyone left who cares. So that's the finish. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's the situation.
Uh-oh. Natalie, are we twin-cesting again? Is this really happening?
I didn't write twin-cest. Hey, I didn't write twin-cest. Look, if any of you have ever listened to Glee Chat, there were some twins in the final season of Glee. I enjoyed them very much. Mitch got really hung up on... And there were many incest jokes because they were a weird relationship of twins. Mitch got really hung up on the twincest, so just watch out, guys, if you want to avoid that. Cut him off when he starts to talk. So, yeah.
Ariana, you've unleashed me. You've unleashed me.
All right. The first point of call, the Avatar cycle is, like, done because Rava is out of Korra. Or is it just the connection to the past lives that is done? And then you've said, "I'm so confused and mad." At least when Korra starts crying, this is legit the first time that you've liked her all season. She finally gets what a shit show she's made of everything. True.
It was the first time I liked her. I was like, okay, finally, Korra, you get it. You are, what you did is awful. You are awful. Thank you for accepting that.
Yeah, I feel that way very strongly about this episode. Like, someone mentioned earlier, like, her apologizing to the twins at the end, which, yeah, might have been unnecessary or whatever, and you know, but I actually felt that, like, that was her first port of call, like, you know, after the whole battle. I was like, this is a changed woman. Like,
that was great.
Yeah, that's your first thing, like, sorry that this happened, I couldn't save him. Etc. Like that, you know, old Korra would have been like, "Bah, get out of the way. Sorry, don't care." If you know what I mean. Like, I feel like that this is, you know, this entire experience, you know, with the blue blob, etc., and her avatar thing, it did really change her for who she is inherently changed. But why did she have to screw up so badly for that to happen when every other avatar in the past 10,000 years didn't have to screw up this badly for this to happen, you know, for them to be a decent person?
I mean, I am very hopeful that she's been humbled and that this will, you know, bring out a Korra that we love. But, I mean, that's how I felt after the end of season one. I was like, oh, yay, now she'll be humbled. And that did not happen.
I can promise better things now. So the Avatar cycle versus the past lives. I think that Rava going back into Korra means, at the end, means that the Avatar cycle lives on. Like, Rava can now jump to another baby later on and pass on the bending powers and all of that stuff. But apparently the connection to the past lives, you know, and having those selves inside you, I think that is gone. So I don't know, like, do you think that that's like a bit of a like, has Korra ruined the Avatar experience for every future Avatar now?
I mean, yeah, the only people they have advice to ask for now is just Korra, and
that is
not like worry
yeah. ask for advice. I'd be like, I'm just gonna go phone a friend. Korra, it's fun.
Yeah, definitely, and so she kind of has this pep talk with Tenzin, like, that Tenzin, you know, she needs Tenzin more than ever, that the big avatar, the big bad avatar is kind of smashing down Republic City, Lin is there saving the president, and I'm like, president, if you'd sent some troops to the Southern Water Tribe to kill Unalaq, instead, you know, maybe your city wouldn't be being destroyed now, but, you know, never mind. They're there kind of defending the city, and Korra has the pep talk with Tenzin about how her spirit is stronger than being the Avatar, that, you know, the Avatar chose this person because of who they are and blah, blah. So Korra, just as herself, like her own spirit power, not the Avatar spirit, becomes a giant blue Korra and fights, you know, with Unalaq in the water, which was confusing for me. I don't know. Mitch, do you like the blue giant? You don't like the blue giant.
I don't like the blue giant. I really don't. It's like I said, just like the season one finale of Atla, and it's just so stupid. I feel like they just ran out of ideas and like, okay, we really screwed Korra over so much. So instead of like starting Jinara over as a new avatar, we're gonna keep like Korra going on a string. Or like we're gonna like this one like weird ounce of logic that might exist to make her turn giant and blue without having any special powers anymore or even any bending. And we're just gonna run with it. We're gonna hope no one notices and just thinks it's giant, it's epic, and it's cool. And you know what? It's gonna work. And then I'm sitting here the whole time like they're like Godzilla just shooting giant beams at each other the whole time. It's pathetic.
I mean, you know what would have been so cool?
But yes, carry on, sorry.
Like what you said, Mitch, that sounds so cool to me. Like I don't know why they don't do this. I wanted this with Aang too. It sounds so cool to me, the idea of like a retired avatar. So like, you know, Rava got taken out of Korra and now, but then like somewhere the magic or whatever happened. So because Jinora was still in the spirit realm, like she attached herself to Jinora. And so now Jinora's like the new avatar. And then like, having to see Korra like have to deal with like, I used to be the avatar, but I'm not anymore. How can I redefine myself? How can I still be useful? And like maybe her having to teach the new avatar. Like it would be cool to see like an old avatar teach a new avatar how to be the avatar. I don't know.
Because usually dead before that even is
yeah.
cooking.
Usually
yeah.
they're always dead
always
before.
Dead. Such is the flaw in the system, but...
Yeah. Oh, while we're talking reincarnations, big question here for newbies. What happens now that we've had the life and the death of a dark avatar? Where's that reincarnation going if it exists?
That is a huge question that I have. Like, where is Vatu?
He's not there.
But does that make sense? Because Rava wasn't there, and then all of a sudden Rava was there. Like, they specifically said you cannot destroy one without the other. Like, you can't destroy them. So darkness is lurking somewhere, and I guarantee it's going to be Korra's fault again because she left the stupid portals open.
That's true.
Maybe Jinora's just like, you know what?
Yes,
I can't
can
get
we talk
I can't
about
get Rava.
That was like a terrible idea, right, guys?
It was the worst.
Yeah. Like, after everything that literally just happened 2 days ago, she's just like, you know what?
Maybe
Una Locke was onto something. I'm like, did you not just see him turn into a giant monster and nearly destroy Republic City? And you're like, you know what? He's so clever. I was so happy this was over. And then she goes and does that. It just, why? Why?
Yeah, it's completely bizarre. Like, it's completely bizarre that she was like, I think that this is what the world needs. Avatar 1 was wrong all of those years ago.
10,000 years of this have definitely taught us. 10,000 years of relative peace with the spirits have taught us that we should just interact with them more.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, did we not see, like, you know, in Wan's world when they did used to interact with spirits, that people, like, exploited them and that there were, like, fights and, like, everyone hated each other and, like, you know, it was all battles? Like, why would you do that?
Because she's like, well, Jenora gets along with them, so probably everyone will be like that.
And she was also just like, listen, I know the Avatar is supposed to, by definition, be the bridge between the worlds, but I am so not up for that right now. I just spent 2 days in the spirit world. I'm exhausted. I'm going to leave these portals open. You guys, you run into trouble, you know, just call Zaboomafoo. I'm sure he has some advice.
Justice for Zaboomafoo. What happened to him? We need to see him again.
Oh, my God. And then there's all those terrifying spirit. I mean, okay, having humans, like, going around messing in the spirit realm is going to screw things up for sure. And then, like, the mean spirits, now they can get out, whatever.
I feel like the letting humans just walk in and out of the spirit world is, like, really exploitative. Like, I feel like it's like going into like a temple or something, you know, like that it's like you can't or just like, go there, like, you know,
like in the Amazon, you know, like bringing tourists, exactly. Hey, let's check out,
yeah, cool,
let's look at all these endangered species, let's play with pandas,
yeah, or like, you know, that they just like, you know, drive their, you know, SUVs through there and stuff. Like, I feel like, you know, it's not okay. Like, I don't know, it feels very
stupid. Someone's gonna start a theme park soon, definitely. There will be a theme park in the spirit world.
Yeah, and I feel like this is a bad plan. Like, you know, and
they're
it's
gonna
probably
pave
gonna
paradise
be
and put up a parking lot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, Varric. He's a genius businessman.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's stupid for so many reasons. But Jenora, what happened there? Like, with her floating Tinkerbell blue fairy magic.
I don't actually know. She was just like, Dad, you know what? Korra literally cannot handle this. I gotta go.
I'm 12. I've gotta fix it. You know.
And she just, like, disappears. Like, he went through all that trouble to carry her, and she just floats away. Like, he walked so far holding her, and then all of a sudden she's just like, bye.
But then when she comes down and floats down in front of blue Korra, what
she
happened?
Has the light.
What light? What
I don't know. It? They needed light, and she had it. Conveniently.
Was it Rava? Like, was she holding, like, what
and
was
no, because she Rava get Rava?
Rava was inside of Vatu. Like, Korra reaches in and pulls Rava out. So she didn't have Rava.
What was Jenora's point?
Maybe she was, like, the little, because the whole world went dark when the dark spirits were there. So maybe she was just, like, the final, like, remaining
unaffected piece of UA. Light.
Yeah, or something. I don't know. You're asking me.
Oh, it still doesn't make
Except
sense
she didn't
to
die
me.
This time
explaining
around.
This to everyone.
Mitch, what do you think happened?
Would we be more satisfied if Jenora, like, pulled a UA and, like, had to sacrifice herself to become... To become the new Rava, to, like, create the new spirit. Like, UA had to become the moon, so she had to become the moon spirit. What if Jenora became the new Rava spirit?
But I like Jenora for herself. And she's the best character in the show, so no.
Well, I don't want her to die, but wouldn't it have felt like something more had happened in this finale rather than just like... Well, I guess a lot happens with the portals being open. Never mind.
About what Jenora actually did, but it seemed very beautiful and magical, so...
A dream is a wish your heart makes, you know?
It was very that. It was confusing. I love her, though, and there will be more Jenora-ness later.
There will.
What have you written? Obligatory Eska and Desna talk. What do you want to say about them? They're there.
Nothing.
They're going to be the new chiefs of the Water Tribe, and the Water Tribes are now independent from each other, but they're allies. And Bolin and Eska break up, and apparently they actually did like each other, and they're both as ridiculous as each other, and you don't care?
Also, Cora is a horrible politician because she appoints her family as leaders. She did not give them a fair election.
Yes. Okay. That bothered me so much that she's just like, yeah, so I've decided my dad's going to do it. I'm like,
they, I mean,
really?
The last thing we saw is her dad. He could
her dad was
going to
do it.
Okay, sure, whatever. Like, that is terrible politics. She's related to both chiefs on both sides.
Mm-hmm. But she can't serve as the bridge to the spirit world.
No, she just wants to be a princess. She doesn't want to be the Avatar. She's like, oh, this is hard. I just want to be a princess.
So is she, like, even more of a princess than she was before? I think she's a princess by the power of 10 now.
Yeah, she is, because her dad should have been the chief of the Water Tribe in the north, or all of them. So she would have been heir to the Water Tribe. She would have been Chief Cora of the Water Tribe, because apparently it's hereditary. And he got kicked out, and so she was the cousin of the prince and princess, like Desna and Eska. And now her dad is the king or the chief of the Southern Water. She is the UA of the Water Tribe. Desna, Eska, and Cora are the UA position people of the Water Tribe.
Yeah.
Which seems
but we must
like,
have
I feel
had
like
some
you
kind of,
shouldn't
like...
have given the Avatar like a position in such like, high power in society. Like, that seems like too much power.
It does. But it also, this brings up a point that we had to have had already one election from the fact that UA died and she was the next generation to be the ruler.
I'm sure he had, like, siblings, which is probably where they got these other people from.
Well, regardless, we can say siblings or not, but we can also say that now, since Cora is an only child, that they're going to have to vote someone in for the next
Cora
leadership role.
Cora ain't going to take over as the chief of the Southern Water Tribe, is she?
No.
Also, why do they, like, why is it hereditary? Like, I feel like they should be beyond this by now.
I don't know. Well, it's like, they're kind of like a little bit Native American culture, the Water Tribes. So are those chiefs in like hereditary? Like, has society progressed past that? Like, is it still back in Katara in that day? It was like a very, you know, family group situation, and it was like a royalty thing. But they were saying that the council has elected him the chief. So I don't know.
We can also say, Natalie, once again, that a lot of these things are going to be solved and or brought up in the upcoming episodes of the show.
Just remember that the Fire Nation definitely has a royal family. You know, the Earth people had a royal family. The Airbenders probably don't because they're, like, monks. But they said all the other three tribes all seem to have had an equivalent of a royal family who was ruling, in a way. Which, do we agree with that in this universe or nah?
Well, King Bumi is the best king that ever lived and reigned in the Avatar universe, so I agree with
I still
the
don't,
system that's in place.
I need to know the story of how he, a street rat, became king of a city.
Listen, that is the fan fiction I'm currently working on. I will let you know when it's done.
Okay, thank you.
Don't rush me.
Okay, come on. So Marco and Cora break up, basically, right when apparently Ariana started to not hate them. So they have a rational conversation about their relationship and breaking up because Cora has her memories back from the spirit tree or whatever that was. Time tree. Tree of time. I don't know. Did we care about the tree of time? It seemed shoved in to me.
I don't know, but I felt like I was a little bummed by their breakup and I found myself being really surprised because...
Interesting.
Like now that she's... I feel like now she's kind of, you know, matured a little bit. She's calmed down. I feel like they could actually make a go of it. But then they were like, nah.
Yeah, I get what
you mean. Cora's just so over everything. She doesn't want any responsibility. She's just like, no.
I kind of get what you mean in that, like, they have this rational conversation being like, I remember our fight. I remember the breakup. I feel differently now. And I didn't say anything because I didn't want to remember it happening. And it's like, if we're both, like, we both agree that that sucked and was a mistake, then is the answer, yeah, we should get back together? Or is the answer... you know, we know it was a big mistake forever, like, you know, so I don't know, like, they were better than they have been before, but, you know, do you think...
I mean, they broke up because they had terrible, immature behavior.
Yeah.
And I mean, so...
I don't know. Brittany, did you want them to break up?
Yeah, I'm over. I think that this... And I have a lot more to say about it, actually, when we get to one of the feedback comments, so I'll hold my thoughts
okay.
on it.
Mitch, how about you? Marco, Cora, done with it?
Yes, done with it. And this is actually like full circle because when they go like, you know, I'll always love you, and she like says goodbye and walks away, I was like, that's, I just did that. That's the thing. Like, it felt very real. Mm-hmm. And I was finally happy to see them come to like that really happy conclusion of being like we're still going to be in each other's lives. We're still going to have love for each other, but we're never going to work out. I was like, that's my life. That's weird.
I mean, I think it's happened a lot of times to a lot of people, not to minimalize the pain, but yes, I suppose.
No. It's not how I meant it. It's yeah. It's to say, like, that they did a really good job of finding, like, a realistic way to break them up, finally. Mm. To say, like, they're being logical about this, and there's more than just, like, the love that they need, because they were just like, well, we'll just work it out, and it's like, nah.
Cora's maturity, it's funny because it seems to even show on her face. Like, she just seems like tired now. If you, like, they've drawn her face in a way that just looks like more calm, but just defeated. Like, it's like her, even when she was being the blue blob and sort of before that, she doesn't have this kind of like, ah, I'm a, you know, like, her just the expression, she doesn't have a twinkle in her eye anymore. She needed it beaten out of her, apparently. Because, yeah, she just feels...
or ripped and eaten out of her, too, you know? Yeah, Bravo's she just dead, so.
Feels like she's not... yeah, that her maturity has come at a pretty high price of, like, basically she's just now depressed. But I'm okay with it because she was terrible before and she needed a smack. So, I don't know. It's interesting. Like, just I feel like that the just the expression...
because she was a
face,
princess.
Yeah. True. Imagine if Azula had been the Avatar.
She would be so effective, though. She would definitely be better than Korra.
Do you think she'd have a different...
things done.
But do you think having Rava inside you, like, makes you intrinsically, like, have, you know, feelings and opinions and, like, intrinsically actually be a good and not power-hungry person, if you know what I mean?
Well, I think that she got a lot of what she got.
Is Korra a good person? I feel like she's not a good person, but
she's
not evil.
I think that just Azula is the way she is because of the fact that she had a horrible upbringing, but she had so much potential. I think that if you were born an Avatar as Azula, that, like, I don't know, like some like White Lotus group or something would have come in and like abducted her. And like, okay, you're already Ozai's daughter. This is not going to work out. You're going to, like, be the legitimate evil Avatar. And she would have been risen up to be a better person.
My gosh, that would have been awesome. So like, Star Wars. She would have been like Luke.
Yeah.
Totally, yes.
Interesting.
Oh, my God. And isn't Mark Hamill voicing Ozai? This is so weird. We need to stop. Okay.
This is too much. Okay, so anyway, we're going to talk about the characters, especially to Ariana and Brittany, how you stand on all of the characters now. Now that we've finished book two, you know, do you feel differently about them as you did at the end of season one? New favorites? Do you like some characters less? And like, kind of, where would you like to see them go now that we've got all these characters that some people that, you know, think some of them are erroneous going into season three? Kind of, what do you want from those characters and what would you like to see the show do? Ariana, I mean, given what you said about the whole Tamora Pierce comment earlier in the day, earlier in the recording, did you kind of want to expand on that first or with the characters?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I've already said that Team Avatar to me does not feel like a team at all. And I also don't feel like they super care a lot about the Avatar. I feel like they just, it almost seemed to me that even in that episode last season where they're like, we're the new Team Avatar now, it was like they so badly wanted to be like, yeah, Aang had like Katara and Sokka. We can do that too, Korra. we'll be those people. But they really have like not been super useful at all. I feel like the real Team Avatar for Korra is like Tenzin and Lin and even like Katara. Like,
Katara is still on Team Avatar.
Yeah. I feel like they're the ones who are
tired
actually...
of that. She's just like, I've been doing this for way too long. Seriously. Like, Aang died, I thought I was good. And then Korra comes around and it's round two. And I'm like, can I just retire and be a grand?
Or like even Jenora. Like, Jenora was definitely more Team Avatar this season than anybody else, than the guys or Asami, who have done like nothing useful or been interesting in any way.
if you think about it, we almost do have, like, in the pilot episode where Katara is watching Korra doing her firebending training. She seems like she's just seeing her for the first time. Like, she seems like she's wanted to stay hands-off because she's like, yeah, she's strong, cool. Like, do your thing now. I gave you my seal of approval. I would be sick of it, too. I would be so done. I don't know why Katara is even, like, worrying about, like, who she has to heal. Like, just I don't know. Go to, like, Fiji or something. Get out of all.
Yeah, I mean, true. Brittany, how about you? What do you kind of want from them going forward with the characters that we have so far?
Well, this season I kind of lost complete interest in Mako and Asami, which is sad, and I liked a lot of the secondary characters a lot more. So I really like Varric and, like, those little plot lines, just because that they were so crazy and out there that it kept me engaged in the episode, as opposed to, like, for 5 episodes straight, no one believing that Mako, like, knew something about a detonator.
Mako being a cop was one of, I don't know why, but it dragged me so badly. And especially, I don't feel like it dragged me this badly the first time I watched it. Watching it on this rewatch, Marco's cop job was just like, I just need to stop. Like, okay, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
It was so weird, like, too, yeah. Yeah, it felt out of place with all of the other, like, cool stuff with the spirits and stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's like, and also, Mako's a beat cop.
And I agree that Team Avatar is not really a team. And I would like to see them come together if they... I mean, clearly a lot of people are invested in Asami towards the end. So clearly she's got to come back. Like, they just wrote her off, basically. They were like, oh, she's just going to go and take care of this while we all do something useful. And meanwhile, none of them were useful. But I'd like to see...
I was mad that they were like, hey, Asami, you can, like, take him home, right? Because
DD. Like, all right.
Like, well, you don't bend, right? Like, you can take someone home and heal them. That's what you can do. It's like,
okay,
no,
Bumi doesn't bend.
I can assassinate him with my sniper gun.
So.
Yeah. I mean, in an ideal world, like Brittany fantasy casting right now, I would just like the focus to be on Bumi, Tenzin, and all the adults helping, and Jinora can come along too, just helping Korra, like, figure out her life. Like, I would even be down for, like, 5, like, really intense therapy intervention episodes where they all just tell stories and we get some flashbacks. And then, like, Zuko just shows up and is, like, old and wise and awesome. And that's all I really want. All I want is more nods to Avatar, because I'm feeling really disenchanted by Korra right now, and I need a little boost.
It's okay. I think
totally
we all were by this point, Brittany.
I think Korra needs to leave Republic City, and she can go, and, like, her new team Avatar can be, like, Jinora, like, just Jinora. And then, you know, I want Tenzin to work out his issues with Lin, and Bumi and Kaya can help out with that. Yeah. And, like, and said, Zuko will come with,
well,
and we'll discover Azula's love child.
That'll be great.
If you newbies could have one appearing character from the part from Atla, like one serious Atla plot or throwback or character appear in Korra coming up in season 3 or 4, what would you choose? Just one.
Well, I mean, obviously my answer is King Bumi, but that's not happening because he's long dead.
He's dead.
But it would be Zuko, without a doubt.
Zuko showing up. I want to see Zuko and Katara in the same scene. That's, like, all I want.
Literally, just even if
in
they're
the same scene,
there, silently sipping tea from across, like, the table. Like,
they don't even have to be looking at each
other.
Exactly.
Just, like,
they just have to be in the same
room. Air.
Because I'll feel the tension.
It's going to be so good.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's hurry through these favorite scenes and lines, because I think Mitch has to go in about 5, and then we'll do a bit of feedback. So, favorite scenes. Mine was actually the kids and Pema watching Korra and Jinora come back to the bay, and just the way they reacted to it. Like, I don't know, I found it hilarious for some reason. But, Brittany, how about you?
Mine, because I actually liked Bolin a lot in book 2. I know Mitch didn't, but I liked him a lot. So when Mako's just standing there after Korra leaves, and he just, like, slowly slides into focus in the frame and is like, you need a hug.
I like the little noise he made when he was hugging him as well. It's like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. Ariana, how about you?
Mine was when Ju Lee busted them out of prison, and then when he's like, Operation Wing Freedom, and then he like hops on her back and they fly away.
They're ridiculous. I love him. And Mitch, how about you?
Yeah, mine's Lynn saving Reiko, because I wish she had more, but she still had a really important role here. They kind of shoehorned her in. They were like, okay, I guess like the president should be involved and like Lynn would be his protector, so let's just do this. And I was like, okay, you gave me something. Like, you tried.
Yeah. True. I liked getting to see Lynn and not forgetting that she existed. Favorite quotes. Mine, originally I'd actually picked one differently. I actually picked when Boomy was like, what did you say to her exactly when Cora climbed out of the tree? But then later in the episode, I found it hilarious when, again, like tied into the scene that I picked of them watching Cora come down in the bay, and then Jinora and Ikki was kind of like, oh my god, it's Jinora. She's beautiful. And Pema's like, what? And takes a binoculars, and she's just like, be careful, sweetie. In this very, it was just such, like, so mom voice, like, I don't know what you're doing out there, but come back inside right now. And I just found it very, very hilarious. So I enjoyed that. Brittany, how about you?
Is no one going to say anything about Pema being homewrecking whatever in this moment? Because
no, she didn't do anything bad, Mitch.
Yeah, that's
I only hate on her when she's horrible.
Yeah,
I just can't. I can't think positive towards Pema. She's ruined the legacy of the Beifong Aang family. She really has.
You know, she made Jinora though, so
she's fine in this episode. There's no interaction between her and Tenzin or her.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of time to hate her later.
Just shh, Mitch. Don't make beef when there's none. Mitch is like, I don't know what to do. You guys hate on her all the time. I gotta join in. Anyway, Brittany, your quote.
Mine's from Bolin when he's getting like overly excited about the battle, and he's like, you know, with Eska, and he's just like, let's face the end of the world together. And he's just,
you're so romantic.
Yeah. I really liked that whole thing. And then when she decided like, no more, I was like, oh, okay. I was fine with it.
Yeah. And she kind of, when she was like, I'll always remember you, my little turtle duck. Like, she was very tongue in cheek. Like, she knew that she was cray cray and I like her.
What did she say? I'll always hold a special place for you in the organ that pumps my blood.
Yeah.
Doesn't she remind you like her lines in this episode, a lot of Wednesday Addams from the Addams Family? Like, yeah. The organ that pumps my blood. Like,
in the world to, I know it's Aubrey Plaza, but it's literally like what, like listening
like
to
Aubrey Plaza, like, yeah.
Like, it's just, that's how it is.
What she is, so yeah.
Ariana,
what was your quote?
Mine was when Cora, like, is talking to Tenzin, and she's like, the cycle is over. In the last Avatar, I'm so sorry, Tenzin, because that's finally when I was like, yes, Cora, now I finally like you. Because she finally, like, realized the gravitas.
Yeah. And Mitchell.
Okay, so I think I got the scraps this week because this quote doesn't even reflect anything of what I like at all. And when I read it, you'll know why. So Tenzin says, he became a legend because of who he was, not what he was. He wasn't defined by Rava any more than you are. And I think we've talked about how I'm not impressed by Korra anymore, and that this line didn't like affect me because I just kind of wanted Korra to be done being like the Avatar. And I was excited maybe if she would have just had to like figure out how to like jiu-jitsu her way around and just like karate chop people, you know, kind of like Ty Lee or something. Like, that would have been fun, you know.
I have a question about this quote. So this is when Tenzin is talking to Korra about the first Avatar, right?
Yeah.
Like, how did he know about that? Because wasn't the whole point of Korra learning all this stuff because no one knew the story of the first Avatar, and he's just like, oh yeah,
it's because he's such a great therapist. He's just like, he told her what she needed to hear.
Yeah, exactly. It's just she's just like, oh yeah, Avatar 1, and he's just like, I'm gonna make up some shit about Avatar 1. Like, yeah.
I was like, enough. I'm so tired of Tenzin's ancient texts being so convenient.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, like, wasn't he there to hear some of that Unalaq stuff where he was just like talking about what a mistake it was for Wanda to close the spirit portal, or no, he was off getting Jinora.
I mean, maybe she like he must have overheard that or something. Like, yeah. She probably told him the story, but still, he acted like he knew it all along, and that's just not cool.
Any more on that before we go into the feedback?
I just want to make one Aladdin reference because I feel like we have to now every week. I said this on Twitter, but I feel like book two is the return of Jafar in Aladdin, where like they recast the genie. It wasn't Robin Williams. It wasn't as good. Everything went to crap in the end and no one liked it. And then they came back with like a kick-ass third movie. The third Aladdin is the best Aladdin.
King of Thieves?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the
Love King
Aladdin.
Of Thieves.
It rivals the original in it's hilarious. They brought Robin Williams back. It's amazing. So hopefully book three follows that path.
I think it will. There was like a lot of parent drama in that one too. So
yeah,
maybe I'll watch that today because
it's so good.
Heard of it. So
thank you for sending me off in wonderful fashion because now I need to watch Aladdin 3 because I'm excited because I really liked the first one and the second was such a disappointment. So this is going to be good.
All right. Okay, Mitch, will we let you go before the feedback? Was there any particular feedback you wanted to comment on before you went?
Yes, the fact that we're bringing up what show are we planning on doing after Legends of Korra. I'm not sure that's the name of the show, but it's okay. I don't know yet. And can I just toss in one that I would like if I had one? Oh, shoot. I'd be fine with Hannibal. I really would.
It's Mitch, and it's not definitely
finished.
So is
Korra. Like, Korra just happened.
Yeah, but Hannibal doesn't have, like, a prequel show that we already did that ended a couple years ago.
No, it's way
It was convenient.
Korra's just, like, a really special case, I think.
Yeah. One day. Maybe one day we'll do Hannibal. That will be interesting.
That's fine. Well, I mean, if you think Hannibal's such...
Natalie would have her own spinoff of the Hannibal podcast because she would talk for hours.
No way! Shut up! I don't mean to.
Well, you know what would be fun then? Like, I'm just going to toss this out here. If we were... Brittany, you're going to love this. If we were to just to do, like, I don't know, like, of a long show, just do, like, 3 or 4 seasons of it, just so, like, because we wanted to touch on it, but we knew we couldn't cover it all the way. And I'm thinking of Gilmore Girls.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that would be a good show to just jump in and do. Like a one season thing, even, would still be fun.
Yeah, and we can like skip all of 5.
I've never seen
it. Four. No, all of 4. 4. Digger Styles just does not need.
Because whenever I watch that show now, like I always think of like, what would like Ariana be writing her synopsis about for this show? It'd be great. Like obviously, Dean is a much better boyfriend. Emilia Ventimiglia needs to go back on Heroes. It would be great. Just, Okay. Everyone enjoy your
Gilmore Girls, but I believe that there is already a very popular Gilmore Girls recap podcast.
Yeah, there is a really popular.
So we may not be there. May not be room for us in the world, but anyway, we'll talk about other things we're going to watch later.
Okay. Yes. Right. Enjoy. Bye, enjoy. Mitch. And enjoy your special iTunes incentive. Bye. Mm-hmm.
All right. So contact info if you'd like to get in touch with us after this episode about what we've experienced together with book two, rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com, our Twitter re_watchable, this post on tumblr.com, this post on hyperball.com, our parent website, or if you want to rate us on iTunes, that would be a really nice treat for us. If you rate us 5 stars, then Brittany will float into your arms like the Virgin Mary to save you from your evil uncle with her light magic because she is so pure of heart. If you'd like to cash in on this with Brittany, you can always find her on the Rewatchable Tumblr as well, which she operates, rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. So any of those forms of feedback would be really great, and we're going to get some into some now that we've had from past in reaction to our past episodes. So is everyone ready for the listener feedback portion of the show?
Yeah.
Yeah? You sound thrilled.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm ready. I was kind of, like, reading ahead as to what we're going to talk about. So we're good.
Okay, so as Mitch brought up, we've had quite a few people asking.
Quite a few. It's blowing up with people wanting to know what we're watching next.
I know, we're only on season 2 of Korra.
I think it's because they realize we're like, eh. Listen, we're not going to be done until the week before Christmas, so...
So calm yourselves.
Buckle yourselves in. We got a while to go.
I know what show it is.
I do too.
I do too.
Yeah, okay. And as long as we all know, apparently,
and we're not telling.
I've been lying on Twitter. I'm like, we're not telling. I don't know.
I know what it is.
It's not what they're saying. It's not what they're asking.
I can nearly guarantee that I will be on it as well, unless something major happens in life, or they kick me out. So
I mean, Karen hates me, so I probably won't be on. But
what?
We kind of have an idea of where we're going next, but you can always send us suggestions because I like reading.
I don't think anyone's planning to end Rewatchable anytime soon. There is a plethora of shows.
Yeah, and Downton Abbey, like, I understand someone tried to school me with their math, Gordon. I know you did. Because I was like, oh, but the finale, like, the final season starts while we would be recording talking about the first season. And he's like, yeah, but you'd be done. Like, you'd be caught up by the time it ended. And I'm like, I get that. But
it's true.
It's
that
still
would happen.
It's still so. Maybe in a couple of years.
My God.
Okay, so, yeah.
I love Downton Abbey more than any television show on this planet. Ever.
I am like manic about it. I'm so.
I don't even know why I'm so obsessed still, because it's like terrible now. But
it's not terrible now. Oh, Downton Abbey has had the one. I will say we've had a few people asking about the show. One of them was I'll give you a shout out. Start a Frenzy asked, what show are we planning to watch after Legend of Korra? Gordon Tootie Chopper Man says, bet it's Downton Abbey. It'll be a nice palate cleanser before I try and convince them to watch Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. That's not going to happen, Gordon, I don't think. I don't think we have enough people on Hyperball that care about.
I don't know what that is.
It's like an anime. I don't think we have enough people in Hyperball that care about that industry of... I understand that people really love it, but it's not quite our jam. Feel free to do your own podcast about Full Metal Alcohol Brotherhood and we'll plug it for you or something. Downton Abbey, it's just... everything about it is just ridiculous and perfect. Mitch said earlier...
Yes!
It's like, what happens? Like, it's not like Game of Thrones. No, it is a introspective drama about the major change in classism in society that happens between World War One, after World War One in the UK, society changed because class rules didn't exist anymore, and because the class system, which used to fund all levels of society, like people, the working class used to work for the upper class, and so got paid by like the rich people supported the communities by paying the poor people to work for them. That whole system started falling apart because no one could afford to do it anymore. And Downton Abbey is a family drama about what happens in the family, but it's also an overarching drama about how society changed in that way. And it's so good and beautiful. And Brittany's probably telling me to shut up about Downton Abbey, but that's fine.
Brittany, you would love it.
I've watched all of it, guys. I know how it is.
Oh, you have? Okay.
It's going to start soon. I seriously...
But I really only stuck with it because after the fourth season, I was like, I don't really want to continue watching this. But then I was like, well, whatever. Nothing else is on.
I love it. There's so many characters that are both terrible and beautiful and amazing.
Yeah, no,
Yes.
I just don't. I don't feel as passionately about it, so I let you guys take it.
Once I'm like, you're terrible, and then I'm like, oh, I love you.
Thomas. He's the worst, but he's also the best. Like moments where he has emotions is like the best, and Mary as well is like Mary is such a difficult character, but she has like
she's like the biggest bitch and also like so wonderful.
It teaches you so much about being British. Can I just say, if you don't understand like why British people have the hang-ups that they have, like just watch Downton Abbey because it's also true. But also, they've successfully done a thing which no other show has ever done for me personally, which is taken a pairing. Or a potential pairing, which I totally was like, if they make this pairing a thing happen in
the show, I know who you're talking about.
And they have taken it from me hating it so much to me desperately wanting it to happen.
I want nothing more than Tom and Mary. That's it.
Right.
That's my only end game. I can't.
Basically, there's two characters in the show. One of
whom we don't need to do this on Rewatchable because we've already done it.
See, one of whom used to be married to. The younger daughter, and she died, and he was like the chauffeur, and they ran away together, and then he becomes a member of the family after the daughter dies, and he's with them forever, and basically then the whole last two seasons is like, and Mary's husband dies as well, and Mary's husband and Tom were best friends, and it's just like, when Matthew died as well, I was just like, if they end up putting Tom and Mary together, I will fucking blow up all of England. And now I want more than after all of Mary's drama, after their friendship, and after all of Mary's drama with all her failed other engagements, I literally Ariana.
Tools.
If it doesn't end with that, I will just die. Like it has to. Like right, it has to.
Brittany, you can't edit this out. This is important stuff.
Don't edit this out. Don't edit it out. It's knowing they'll like it. They'll enjoy it. Just do a really slapdash job of editing. Tom and Mary, five ever, if it doesn't happen. I know some people have been paranoid that he's not in the last season. I think he is because he was meant to leave. I did see him in the background of a filming picture from Lady Cora's last day of filming that she posted, like, oh, it's my final wrap, and he was in the background of the shot, so he is going to be there. So just keep your fingers crossed. It's, like, all I want in this world. But let's carry on. Going down, there's just a couple of long comments. Do you guys want to read one of these each? Brittany, do you want to read the first one?
Okay, Luke. Says, hey, great episode again. Few opinions of my own. I think that you guys are a little harsh on both Mako and Tenzin. Mako is clearly unable to handle this situation, but that is pretty normal. She doesn't remember the breakup, but there is a much bigger problem ahead, and Mako recognizes this. During the exchange with Bolin, leeches and stuff, Korra is rather upset, as indicated by the severe head trauma on and then off the dummy. She needs to focus on the battle ahead, and we all know how she reacts when she is emotional. She would lash out at Mako, who clearly needs to help her during the battle. Not saying that he is doing the right thing, but just that it is not simply because he is an idiot. Also note that despite the characters are older in The Legend of Korra compared to Atla, they are still kids, just old kids. So
I agree, you guys are mean to Mako. I mean, I've always been mean to him, but in these few episodes, he's been right.
Yeah, however, my biggest problem with this isn't Mako or Korra, it's the fact that the creators put it in at all. So I'm just upset at it from conception through the whole time it's carried out. So I'm going to be upset about it no matter how well either of them dealt with it. In my opinion, poorly. But I hear what you're saying. I just don't like anything that has to do with Mako and Korra.
Let's read Carl.
Yeah, go on.
Carl Chakumegni.
Yeah.
Carl Chakumegni. And I love that. This is like my favorite first sentence. Hi, everyone. Thanks for this podcast. It's good to hear your thoughts, even if I don't agree with most of them.
I saw this on the site and I'm like, okay, cool. Let's cool. Why are you? I'm like, maybe I'm just like too arrogant, but I wouldn't listen to a podcast where I didn't agree. I would be just so angry. Like if I was like listening to something that I didn't agree with so much, but so thank you for enjoying the podcast, even if you disagree with us. That's great. You're a bigger person than I am, so carry on. Sorry.
Yes. Well, he says, I like the fact that the show speaks to all of us in so many and sometimes opposite ways. Next week will finally be the Book 2 finale podcast. Yay! Can't wait to hear from you. Time to take stock. As much as I love this book, there are things that bothered me very much. The way Lynn handled the bombing case, plus the two eating cupcake cops. I know Lynn is stubborn, but why make her look so stupid? She can use seismic vision, but can't see when people are lying. True. I hadn't thought of that. The way Korra freed her father was so easy. The fact that Bolin can earthbend in the South Pole. The fact that Korra can still airbend after losing Rava. I know that is not much, but for me it wasn't coherent with the story universe. Carl, I feel like they needed you on like the fact-checking team for Korra.
Yeah.
I feel like they needed an army of fans on the fact-checking team for Korra Book 2.
Yeah, look, I think that we're gonna improve from here on out. I feel like this might have been put together in a bit of a hurried fashion after Book 1, but never mind. And hopefully it improves, and if it doesn't, then sorry. But, you know, it's not like it sucks in the grand scheme of the universe, but it was not holding up to what we'd hoped for from the Avatar universe, I suppose. But we can move on to Book 3 now. So until then, we'll be starting that next week with some fresh eyes on Book 3 of Avatar, which is called... Is it called Change or Spirits? Book 3.
No, yeah. Book 2 of Spirits.
Yeah, Book 2 of Spirits.
Korra Book 3. I'm pretty sure it's Change. Korra Book 3 is...
Great, because it needs some.
Yeah, it's called... Yeah, Book 3 is called Change. So it was Air, Spirits, and then Book 3 is Change. So we will be changing next week, which should be fun for everyone, I think. So thank you for joining us and sticking with us. Hopefully you've enjoyed it, whether you agree with us or not. Yeah, feel free to let us know your thoughts or, you know, what other shows you would like us to do, besides Downton Abbey, Hannibal, and Full Metal Alchemist. And we will see you guys soon. So Mitch is already gone, but I'm Natalie.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Mariana.
Thank you very much. See you guys later. Bye.
Bye.